Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Double dose of NBA action on this Friday tonight. The scene switches from Philadelphia to Atlanta. Sixers and Hawks. Joel Embiid still could be a question mark for Philadelphia. Don't know of his status in advance of Game 3. While the Suns go to Denver tonight. Phoenix up 2-0 in the best of seven series. Nuggets trying to get a Game 3 win to stay alive in this series. The other doubleheader that we had last night, really, Ryan, we talked about it yesterday. I felt it was the marquee matchups that we have wanted in these NBA playoffs. It's not meant to slight the Suns or Nuggets or the Hawks or Sixers. There just seems to be more storylines, more, I don't know, star power on when you have the Bucks and Nets and you have Kevin Durant against Giannis and then you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George trying to redeem themselves. Last night was some great hoops, and Bucks and Nets were something else. And then Clippers and Jazz, again, living up to the billing, but Utah gets a 2-0 series win, and now we're saying, uh-oh, here we go, same old Clippers. Do they have enough to get out of this 2-0 hole?
I think they do. We touched on a little earlier. The Jazz hit 23s. But what is scary about this scenario, and I'm going to be upfront with you, this isn't – they aren't the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks had a lot of holes. They're a very Luka-centric team. Dallas was the team that they beat the last year. The Jazz play hard. They're not going to beat themselves. Ultimately, we spoke about this. The Clippers have a more talented roster. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Morris Senior. The Clippers have a really, really good team that can switch pick and rolls. They can present problems for you on the offensive end of the floor once their one-on-one players can get going. But Utah is playing at a different gear right now. Now, are you among the many, and I looked at Utah, and I'm feeling a little better about them, that, you know, would laugh and say it's a joke when you say they're contenders. There's a lot of people amongst the belief that the Utah Jazz are contenders and felt that way all year long.
Well, here's what I think happens. I think people don't watch the Jazz because I think that people only will watch, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying when...
I don't watch them like that. It's true.
We watch the Lakers, we watch the Clippers, we watch the Brooklyn Nets, and I would say that's probably... and the Warriors. And those are the four teams that people watch. I would even say that sometimes maybe the Clippers get into that, but I would even put them to that point. But then you go to the next tier, and maybe you're watching Luka, maybe you're watching the 76ers, maybe you're watching the Knicks, but I don't think that people are watching Utah. And I say this because this is the frustrating part about being a Bucks fan is the Bucks team that we've seen in the regular season the last 2 years, not this one, but the years before when they had the best record, they played really good basketball. And understanding that regular season and playoffs are different, but it's just so easy to say, they don't have it. They don't have it when it comes to the playoffs, when you don't know what they have in the first place. And what I think was so intriguing about watching this Utah team in these first two games of this series is that it just isn't the Donovan Mitchell show. Even though he's been magnificent, like Jordan Clarkson, sixth man of the year in the NBA, comes in and does his thing. Joe Ingles ends up having to be in the starting lineup because Mike Conley's dinged up. He plays his role. And then you got, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic. He's a good player. It kind of goes back to the point of they have got really good players 1 through 8. When we talked about big threes and do they work yesterday, Utah is a good example, and it's been working right now because their 1 through 8, I think, is maybe the best in the NBA, and they've got that one in Donovan Mitchell. But we don't pay attention to them, so we just say, Utah's number one. They're another team that does well in the regular season, but when it comes down to it, it's going to be the Lakers and Clippers, and that's what I think Utah falls victim to.
Well, here's the reality. Early in the year, Shaq went on and just told Donovan Mitchell straight to his face. I don't know if we respect that or not. I thought it was poor timing that he wasn't a superstar. Superstars close games. And Donovan has shown you sprinkles of it, but he's looking like the real deal right now. Now, I'm not all the way 100% sold, but I'm glad he continues to improve. And the biggest difference that I see that I like from the Jazz is they've got guys who can break you down individually and score. And they struggle to do that in the playoffs. When they can't run their system and they've got to go one-on-one, can they go one-on-one? They have much vastly improved in that aspect and scenario. So when I say run their system, you go, oh, what the heck are you talking about, Ryan? When they run their system means I'm coming off a pick and roll. The weak side big or the strong side big has to guard the point guard and Rudy Gobert. And until the guard gets back in front, you know, you're going to have options of Rudy Gobert rolling, corner threes, or the guard taking a shot. Now, at some point in the playoffs, everything is switched, which means there is no roller. It's just one-on-one basketball. And you're looking at a Jazz team that has improved playing one-on-one basketball. And Donovan Mitchell, when needed, has been able to create his own shot. But most of us believe, like Shaq believed, and said, Donovan, are you a superstar yet? Are you a guy that's going to do this at the highest level? And he's looking good so far. I'm not sold completely, but he's looking good, right?
I actually, not looking back on it, for as awkward as it was, and for some of the flack, if you will, that Shaq got and how he asked the question, it actually may be the turning point. It may have been, maybe, and I don't think that Shaq was going for that to be how uncomfortable it was, but I do think what he was going for is what is happening. And so I would actually give Shaq a victory lap on this if it turns out, yeah, it was awkward TV and it just didn't feel right. I think Shaq just probably didn't go about it the most opportune way, but I think it actually is going to work out, and I actually think that it plays a role in it. And the most surprising thing about this is Utah's just playing the same sort of game that they played during the regular season. I mean, it helps when you have two guys hit six threes apiece like they did last night. But we're so on Milwaukee and the problems that they have in carrying over what they do in the regular season to the postseason. Utah just keeps playing and doing what they do. And if I'm the other teams, that's what scares me. Now, it's not as much about the Clippers and looking at them being down 2-0. If I think they win game three, do I think that they win game four? Probably, but I just don't know how you can fault Utah or just push them off and say, just wait till the Clippers end up winning two games, because they're doing what they did in the regular season, and that is proving to be the way that they're winning games in the playoffs. So I have to tip my cap to at least Utah for continuing to do that.
Well, the regular season is one monster, and Utah's always going to be good under Quinn Snyder as long as he's there. You got a roller in Rudy Gobert who's going to shore up the paint for you, and they hit threes. And they play hard. You know, they run their offense. There's no break in a Quinn Snyder's team as far as the execution is concerned. But the one-on-one play has much improved. Another guy who Shaq put a battery in their back, you can probably thank this Utah run to Shaquille O'Neal's challenges. He told Rudy Gobert he wasn't worth the money. He told Rudy Gobert, three-time defensive player of the year, that he wasn't worth the money. Yesterday, tallies 20 rebounds, plus 14 on the night, 13 points. I don't know about you. That's worth the money. But Rudy Gobert goes on to be a three-time defensive player of the year. Are you kidding me? But when you hear a challenge like that, maybe it's what the Utah Jazz needed to hear, man.
I think it is. And I think now when you're looking at, nobody's going to question Donovan Mitchell being a star in the NBA, but he is their unquestioned number one. And the question is how long does it take for Donovan Mitchell to get to superstar status? And that's where also I think Shaq was coming from in all of this. I don't think that Utah needs to win an NBA title. I do think they need to get to the NBA Finals. I think that elevates you if you're Donovan Mitchell. And if you were to look at their road, getting the series win over the Clippers, if they end up doing so, would be a pretty good feather in his cap in being that guy. But for as great as Donovan Mitchell has been since he missed game one of the Memphis series, when you are on that verge of being star to superstar, you have to at least get to the NBA Finals. I mean, look at what it did for Jimmy Butler last season and where it's elevated him and just how we look at the stars of the NBA. And I don't even know if Jimmy Butler is a superstar, but he seems to be near that echelon of guys that we talk about a lot. If Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz get to an NBA Finals, I think that puts Donovan Mitchell in superstar status.
Well, if he gets to an NBA Finals, he'll flirt with it. Superstars, well, it also depends, Dan, how you define superstar. You know, superstars are the guys, me and a lot of former players, we're very slim pickings on who we call super. It means you can get me a championship if you've got one. Damian Lillard, he hasn't gotten a championship, but we know with the right pieces around him, he'd get a championship. There's no doubt in anybody's mind at this point in his career that he is. Steph Curry's a superstar.
Yep.
Kevin Durant's a superstar. LeBron James, superstar. Kyrie Irving, part-time superstar. Jimmy Butler, part-time superstar.
Dame.
No disrespect to who those
Dame?
Guys are. Who?
What about Damian Lillard?
No, I said Lillard.
Oh, did you? Okay.
But the point with Lillard is we all have faith. Correct me if I'm wrong. Text me, tweet me, call in. Dad, if I'm wrong, that if the right pieces were on Damian Lillard, he'd bring you a championship. So we say superstar in that scenario. So ultimately, it's slim pickings who we call superstar. So Donovan Mitchell, if you're going to be superstar or part-time superstar, you know, part-time all-star, we got to see it in either an NBA championship, you know, a good run. You spoke about Jimmy Butler, who had a 30-point or what was a 40-point triple-double in the NBA Finals, even though, you know, they end up losing. But you got to see that type of performance. And he's had exciting performances, but he hasn't sealed the deal. Last year, losing, it was exciting, but losing and getting walked down by the Nuggets.
I think, like, when you see it, you know it.
Hmm.
And that's the toughest part about, like, we know that Durant is a superstar. We know Giannis is. We actually know Luka is.
Do we know Giannis is?
Oh, yeah. He's a two-time MVP. Yeah.
But, I mean, so you're a regular season superstar? Like, superstars aren't made in the regular season. I'm sorry. You have all the regular season accomplishments that you can, and you get to the playoffs and you're airballing free throws. I don't think you just throw that around lightly. I mean, I don't know. How do you define superstar? You know, I think we got a question, and everybody, oh, you're not calling him a superstar. No, we just have a tighter criteria for superstars as former players.
When you see it, I think that's what I think you know. And that's why I put Luka and Dame, like, I think that they are superstars without the credentials. And I think that Donovan Mitchell, If he could get to the NBA Finals and being the number one of that team and doing it in that atmosphere, that rises him to the level. He's not as the immediate as a Luka or a Dame has been and hasn't been doing it as long as Damian Lillard has. But I do think of getting that level of being the leader of that team and just getting to an NBA Finals, which has been dominated by the Curry, Durant, and LeBrons of the world, to get to that stage, I think would be enough where then we would consider Donovan Mitchell that player. That's how I think that would end up elevating him to that spot if he could get there.
I agree. When you have the team, you get out of the conference finals, you make it. You make it in, and if you're losing, it better be to a group of superstars. So if you're Donovan, you know, you can definitely make a huge push right here. You know, so you got no gripes from me, brother, with that one. But I'm not anointing him yet. And it's funny. It's not as a disrespect, and we both agree. It was horrible timing from Shaquille right after guy has an amazing game. Well, you're not a superstar. I mean, dang, thank you. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just awkward. But I think his message and what he wanted to do, you know, was there. I've got the perfect way. This is how it's going to wrap it up. I've only flown first class once or twice, just because of, like,
I don't know if I buy that
pure mix up, because it's like, oh, guess what? We have an open seat or an extra seat. You can fly. I would say that there would be there's about four rows, two on each side in first class. Is that about right? So you would have 16 seats. Like, that's how you determine superstars, filling the first class cabin on an airplane. You take those 16 seats and you can put superstars, and once it's full, it's full. I think that's maybe how you determine it. Is that fair enough? Or is that too broad? Is 16 too big of a number when it comes to superstars?
Yeah, you're too broad. You're too broad when you say that. Either you are or you aren't, you know, but it's very slim pickings because we're talking championships. We're not talking MVPs. We're talking finals MVPs. There's a difference, okay?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
We're short on time. Let me quick do it. LeBron, Curry, that's two would be in there. Kawhi, you'd put superstar three. Durant, superstar four. Kyrie, superstar?
No, part-time.
No. What about Harden?
Part-time.
Jeez. Your first class is like the two rows across. I had Giannis on there. I had Luka on there. Maybe I'm more lenient. Anthony Davis?
Yeah. You got to make it to a finals, dude. You got a friendly, but everyone defines it different. I have no problem at how you define it. You know, a special player for you is a superstar. Those guys are all special players that you named.
I think Donovan Mitchell's identity and brand and who he is would go up with a trip to the NBA.
See,
finals.
Now you're just saying Brandon because you like him. We all like Donovan. That's not a question. He's a great guy, man. He's a great guy, okay?
He is. But, he 37 in last night's, 45 in the previous game, 30 to close out Memphis, 30 the game prior to that. Like, there's – you can't argue with those numbers. And that's this is maybe, you know, the bubble for as great as he and Jamal Murray were, unfortunately, Jamal Murray not healthy, to see him continue this, I think tells us that Donovan Mitchell is on that track.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm Dan Beyer. He's Ryan Hollins, a 10-year NBA vet, hanging out on a Friday. This Djokovic-Nadal French semifinal, good stuff. Brian Fenley will have an update at the bottom of the hour. And then after that, John Ramos plays Dream Team again. Yesterday, 7 out of 8 questions in guessing if the players were Ryan Hollins' former teammates or not. The over-under today, guys, has been set at 5.5. So bet the over-under on if John, out of the 8 questions, gets 5.5. That's the over-under coming up in about 13 minutes or so.
I don't know how he did it yesterday.
7 of 8.
I don't know how he did that. And then he misses Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, Garnett was the one that he missed. He nailed Luke Walton, Adam Morrison, Eric Yushka. You knew that was my teammate from high school. So John was on point. We'll see if he can do it.
We're going to have to name just some my least known teammates. To just listen, man. My goodness.
Well, a teammate of ours at Fox Sports Radio, you can hear him on the 3 and Out podcast, former NFL scout who joins us every week on the Doug Gottlieb Show. John Middlecoff here to talk some football. You watching this tennis or golf? What's going on right now, Middlecoff?
I actually have golf on in the background. Have a little money spread out on the golf.
Sure, fair enough. The warming up for Torrey Pines. I'm curious on your take on Russell Wilson yesterday. He says, "I never demanded a trade. That some of this kind of got blown out of proportion, but he did show up for the voluntary workouts, and they have a mandatory mini camp next week. Is all good in Seattle now that Russell Wilson is there and this is behind him, or do you think there will be lingering effects?"
Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I wouldn't say a bold-faced lie, but he's fudging the truth. I mean, his agent went on record and listed teams. And I think we know Russell is very, very image conscious. I mean, I would say the number one guy in the NFL who is just obsessed with how he's viewed in the public. So I get where he's coming from, but his frustrations – and I thought they were – you know, they were first – you know, kind of class problems. He's lived a charmed NFL life. You know, I mean, he's been on by far probably a top 2 or 3 team in the league for a decade. When he got to the league, they were really equipped. And I get the last couple years, they were flawed, but the front office had done everything humanly possible. Maybe he just realized, like, you know, they're not going to trade me, and I have it pretty well, right? I mean, I got 2 stud receivers. They re-signed my running back. They made aggressive moves. They've always made aggressive moves for him. They just haven't always worked. But you get credit for attempting to, you know, Percy Harvin, Jimmy Graham, look at Jamal Adams. That is trying to help the team. I mean, they've invested a lot of picks in making those trades. So, yeah, I mean, I expect him to, like he always is, just show up and play well and be one of the best players in the league.
Hey, John, one of the things I love about your work is you're not a tap dancer. You like to make statements. You put them out there. You're not soft shoeing anything. And I gotta throw one to your brother. Let me know right now, is Julio Jones still a 1,000-yard receiver next year?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the video that went kind of viral yesterday of him just doing the footwork. I mean, he's an all-time freak show. I mean, he's an all-time just great player. The only question, if he's on the field, I would say for 12 games, 100%. Just old guys in the NFL, you know, it can be hit or miss at position, you know, position players. Obviously, quarterbacks play longer, but, you know, a hamstring. I remember Carson Palmer told me this a couple years ago. When you get injured in, like, your 20s, and you know this, Ryan, I mean, I just think you don't even need to be a pro athlete. When you're young, you just recover faster. Once, to me, you get over that 30-year mark, you know, 31, 32, 33, you just don't recover fast, right? Whether it's from drinking, whether it's from walking around, whether it's you're a pro athlete and you're like Julio Jones getting tackled. Now, the one thing that he's got going for him with the Titans that he did not have with the Falcons is they are a balanced offense. I mean, their running back is their best player, right? I mean, I think he has like almost 4,000 yards the last 2 years. They're going to ride Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, you know, is also, like Julio, just a massive, big target. So I think that they can, in a weird way, ease Julio in. Like, they don't need Julio to be a 110-catch guy. If he can stay healthy, I think he could have, you know, 85 catches, 100, you know, 12, 1,300 yards. Have a big season for sure.
He's John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, host of the 3 and Out podcast. On the Herd Radio, on the Herd Podcast Network here on Fox Sports Radio. Get John on Twitter at John Middlecoff. I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this from a scout's point of view, but is there anything that Jordan Love would do or wouldn't be able to do if you were the Packers watching him that would make you maybe want to change your stance with Aaron Rodgers or trying to I don't know, warm up to Rodgers. Like, is there anything that Love can do in the mini camp that would maybe make Green Bay say, you know what, maybe we need Aaron here?
So you're saying, like, he not looking good makes
you kind of double down? Yeah, or is it just still not enough that we would get to really learn about Jordan Love in this scenario?
Yeah, I just think Rodgers is so good, and he is just such an unknown that your thinking wouldn't really change. I actually think it might go the other way.
Okay.
That if he was just so dynamic, because the one thing Jordan Love really hung his hat on was physically he was really gifted. He was big, he could run, and he had a big arm. A little bit like a poor man's version of what Josh Allen was coming out. So he was just this raw product that, you know, if you hit on him, he could become a really good player. So if you're watching him at practice and he's accurate, he knows the offense like the back of his hand now a year in, you know, the wide receivers finally showed up this week. If he has good rapport with that group, I guess Devontae was just hanging out on the sideline, but he was there, but the other guys were playing. Then maybe you go, well, you know, actually maybe we could compete with this player, right? And maybe you go, okay, Aaron, well, we will trade you for 4 first round picks and 2 second round picks, which to me is still very unlikely, but you know, reports were that he was good. Now, football is way different than the other sports because even when you practice in the off season, it's not even the actual sport, right? You're not wearing pads. Mm-hmm. The offensive and defensive line, especially now with the NFLPA really pushing back, and I've agreed with them on the physicality of the lines. It's just stupid. It's not fair to the defensive and offensive linemen to have to go full go without pads. Those guys are just too valuable to your team. So it's hard to get a beat on how he would be in pressure. You obviously can't tell when he gets sacked. There's just so much unknown, and Aaron's that great where it'd be hard to pivot because let's say you did capitulate. You're like, okay, Aaron, we'll trade you. We'll go with Jordan Love. If Jordan Love were to be not good, and let's face it, in like the history of quarterbacks, he more than likely wouldn't be – he's more likely to be like average to below than really good. It would ruin their careers, you know, the GM and the head coach. So my take was this, you know, I'm a big mob movie guy and they do sit downs. Now, obviously in the mob, sit downs can get a little out of control, but I would have to get a sit down if I was Gutekunst and LaFleur this summer with Aaron. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll meet him in Malibu, meet him wherever he wants to meet. And even if he keeps saying no, I might just show up because we're all human beings. And, you know, there's a lot of emotion on the line. You have to get a face-to-face in this situation and just try to talk through some of your differences. Maybe see what you can do to help him out, to make him feel better. If that means guaranteeing more money, whatever it takes. But last season, I honestly thought that's the best season he's ever had. He was in full control. Now, you could argue, you know, no fans. It was easier for him than normal, right? On the road, he got the Saints to jump off sides in New Orleans, which is that would never happen in a normal game. But like Aaron was clearly focused, lasered in, embraced the offense, which is very quarterback friendly, the Shanahan offense, and eviscerated the NFL. And this team, basically, they're rolling it back. I mean, they have a pretty good shot to win a Super Bowl. And Aaron's no dummy. He gets that. But, you know, I would have to sit down and try to talk out our differences.
John, excellent stuff there. We see you let us know how to move forward. But let's rewind a little bit. I really want to get inside the mind of an NFL GM and just tell me, how the heck do you think that it's a good idea to draft Jordan Love when you have Aaron Reich? What in the world did they think was going to happen? How does this even happen?
It was a calculated risk. In fairness to the GM, Rodgers has had a couple years. Now, I know they made the NFC Championship that year, but he didn't look right. He looked like he was trending the wrong way. And in the history of the sport, you know, at his age, 35, 36, is kind of when they turn. Now we're in this age where you can play till you're 40, 45, who knows? And Tom Brady may never stop. they made a calculated risk, and it blew up in their face. Because, like I said, I think Rodgers, that was the best season he's ever had. I mean, he eviscerated everyone. So, you know, when you make – and the crappy part is, you know, in football, you could have the best defensive line in the league and draft the defensive lineman and no one cares, right? Or wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You have three sweet wide receivers, draft a wide receiver. Everyone's like, oh, this GM's great. But you do it at quarterback, it's very sensitive when the guy's good. And, it was a risky pick. And if Rodgers would have fallen off a cliff, he would have looked like a genius. But instead – he dominated, and then he's come out and says he hates everybody, and now they look like idiots. So they rolled the dice on that one, and it did not come up in their favor.
He's a former NFL scout, now the host of the 3-and-Out podcast on the Herd Podcast Network, John Middlecoff. John, appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. See you later.
Great job, John.
Get him on Twitter, at John Middlecoff. Coming up next, over-under for John Ramos, 5.5. Get your bets in now. Dream Team's coming up. But first,
be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Over or under 5.5 in Dream Team?
Does this mean that I can make sure that John is not cheating?
I just need a number.
Okay.
Over or under, actually. Just need over or under 5.5.
Over.
Over. All right. Let's put John Ramos in the hot seat. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Dan Beyer. Dream Team begins now. John Ramos's goal is to try to guess if the names we give him were former teammates of Ryan Hollins. And yesterday, John went 7 of 8. He's got 8 more names to guess from today. Gavin Kinzel, our executive producer and resident better. Do you like the over or under on 5.5?
I like the under. The hot streak ends today. Sorry, John. Sorry.
All right, John, are you ready to play Dream Team?
I am. Hope those 3-pointers are falling today, I guess.
All right. If John doesn't think they were a teammate of Ryan Hollins, he'll say it's a dream. If he does think that the name is a teammate, he will say team. Let's start it off with Chauncey Billups. Was he a teammate of Ryan Hollins or not?
I would
team
say
or dream.
Yeah, I would say team.
Team. All right. Ryan Hollins, were you teammates with Chauncey Billups during your career?
I did. Play with Chauncey Billups.
Oh. All right, 1-for-1.
Was that with the Clippers?
With the Clippers.
Okay.
All right. Maybe I'll have to stay away from some Clipper names then. So Blake Griffin is off the list. We will take that one off the list. What about Reggie Miller?
Wow, he only played with one team, the Indiana Pacers.
It's good deductive reasoning.
Yes,
John,
I know.
Looks, the question is, did Ryan Hollins?
That's a great
play
one. I would say
Indiana Pacers.
I would say dreams.
I did. not play with Reggie Miller.
Oh, they were two UCLA Bruins many years apart, but John Ramos is 2 for 2.
He's heating up.
That 5.5 under is getting a little scary. What about Pau Gasol?
Ooh. Well, Powell
team or dream
with
of Ryan
Memphis.
Hollins.
He also played with the Lakers. He played with, I think, San Antonio, maybe. The Bulls. I would say team.
I did not play with Pau Gasol.
The perfect game is ended. Yesterday it went to 5. Today we got it on 3. All right, so Pau Gasol was not a teammate of Ryan Hollins. What about Marc Gasol?
Ooh. Oh, play with Memphis. I mean, not Memphis. With who's the first team he played with? So I played with Toronto, but he played with the Memphis Grizzlies, right? He was there. Yeah. I would say team.
Ryan,
I did play with Marc Gasol.
Yeah, all right.
Is that Memphis? Was that
we're Memphis?
Which Gasol brother do you like better, Marc or Powell? Ryan.
Keep in mind that they're listening.
equally friendly, great guys.
Okay.
Oh, they are. All right. What about Robbie Savaski? Is that a teammate or
I think
dream?
He was like, it went Karl Malone, John Stockton, and Karl Savaski was the third player.
Savaski.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robbie. I would say he did not. That's a dream.
Did you ever play with Robbie Savaski?
I did. Not play with Robbie Savaski.
No, but you know who did?
You.
I did in seventh grade. And I may have told this story before. It's one of my favorite stories. Seventh grade basketball, Robbie Savaski, somebody on the other team yelled something at him when he missed his shot. So he gave the bench the finger. Okay, so remember, we're in seventh grade. This is like 12 and 13-year-olds. And our coach at the time made him run ladders during halftime of the game. So while the entire team was at the water fountain getting drinks at halftime, Robbie Savaski had to go free throw line and back, half court and back, all because he flipped the bird in a seventh grade basketball game. All right, John, you are 4 for 5.
Mm.
What about, speaking of kids, what about Jason Kidd?
Yes.
Was Ryan Hollins a teammate of Jason Kidd?
Hall of Famer Jason Kidd. I would say that is a team.
All right, you were teammates. Ryan, were you teammates with Jason Kidd?
I did play with Jason Kidd.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yes.
5 for 6. Bettors right now at the under are a little scared.
I'm going to be betting on this tennis match to get my money back.
All right. What about Shaq?
Ooh.
We were talking about Shaq earlier. Ryan Hollins and Shaq ever team up during Ryan's 10-year NBA career?
I'm going to say team.
I did not play with Shaquille O'Neal.
Under bettors are still alive. 5 for 7 so far. All right, final one.
Oh, boy, pressure.
Gavin, would you like to cash out your bet of under right now?
I did a second ago, but you know what? Let's ride. Let's ride,
no!
baby. Ride the lightning.
All right, final one. Tracy McGrady. Is that a dream? And Ryan Hollins played with Tracy McGrady, or were they teammates?
I'm going to say it's a team for all the money.
I did not play with Tracy McGrady!
Man,
wow. Woo, that was close.
I had to cross off Blake Griffin and Dirk Nowitzki just because we had kind of revealed them in the game. But Tracy McGrady, there it was. 5 for 8.
Choking at the free throw line, John. Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, how was Dirk as a teammate? We didn't put him in the game, Ryan. But
Hilarious.
Oh, man. He would seem like a fun guy. Plus, he's German, like me.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Underbetter celebrating everywhere on Fox Sports Radio. What an episode of Dream Team that was. Ryan Hollins is here. I'm Dan Beyer. Ryan and I sitting in for Doug today. John Ramos getting 5 out of 8 in Dream Team. A little bit less than what he did yesterday in 7 of 8. If you missed it, I suggest you go to foxsportsradio.com after the show and click on podcasts, and then you can find the Doug Gottlieb Show and hear it for yourself. Now's the time of the show where we like to take something from Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1 that was interesting and play it back for you in a segment that we like to call...
And now...
What does the Fox say? Ryan Hollins, I want your response to what Colin Cowherd said today on The Herd as the college football playoff is set to expand and what it means for college football players.
This playoff is going to mean some teams will play 17 games. It's officially time to pay the players. I've always been somebody that believes name, image, likeness. Write the kids a check if they're Tebow popular, Johnny Manziel, Reggie Bush popular, end of the season. The aesthetics are going to be so bad if you don't pay the players now. And players are going to see it, and they're going to stop playing in big games. Because you're going to have multiple networks now bidding on this. Right now, ESPN owns the rights. What college football is finally figuring out is they're going to put this up for bid for all the major networks, and every network's going to have a little bit, the way the NFL works. That's why the NFL is the smartest league with the smartest commissioner. So you're going to have Fox is going to have some, ESPN's going to have some, CBS is going to have some. They're all going to be paying billions of dollars, and it's going to look absolutely ridiculous not paying the players for 17 games.
Do you think payment of college football players is on the horizon after the playoff expands?
I do think it's on the horizon, but I don't think that the college playoff is what's going to spur it. I look more so to college basketball with guys like LaMelo Ball, who should have been freshman at UCLA, but would rather go and play in Australia all the way down under, mate, rather than going to college. The G League. I'm sorry, Dan. I couldn't help
it. I loved it. I loved it. I didn't laugh at you. I laughed with you.
The G League Ignite, which now has a system, if you didn't know, put in place to where these kids can make over six figures to go and play basketball rather than going overseas. So I think if the scenario comes up where 12 teams make it and the star players sit out because they're like, dude, we're not going to the playoffs, be going to get hurt, you know, playing even more game, it would push in that direction. But I think we've been there already. And in, you know, college, well, maybe, you know what, maybe I'm leaning college football maybe has a little more pull than college basketball, but nonetheless, I feel like we're there.
I still think name, image, and likeness is going to be the biggest role in all of this. I would also look at, you know, Jalen Suggs, you talk about college basketball, had quite a run with Gonzaga, especially during the tournament.
Yes, when he
you know, obviously hit the buzzer beater against your alma mater. But that's also the window where your name, image, and likeness could be boosted. And I think that there are guys that during a playoff run could see their name, image, and likeness boosted and make money off of that. I just don't know how you pay everyone and how much you pay everyone. Do you pay the quarterback the same as you do the freshman who maybe plays one special team snap? That's all stuff that, again, I think is just way too big. No, I think name, image, and likeness would take care of
it. They all get paid the same, and like you said, now you can open up and you can get paid, you know, extra from a car ad or a, you know, a shoe commercial or something. And honestly, all that would do is grow the sport because, you know, there's some collegiate athletes that are so big, if they're making money, they'd be endorsed even more.
He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, should Russell Wilson eat his words? We'll talk about it on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.